I mean, isn't it awesome that we are alive at this time? One day we're going to look back at this and really thank God for allowing us to be here at this time. And for the preparing that he's doing for us for what's coming. Because we're a part of what's coming in preparation for the rescue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 14, would you read it with me? Do not be unevenly yoked with what? Together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, the word therefore means, if you'll do this, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, we are in such an awesome time in the area where God is saying, come out from among them. And sometimes we don't even know that we're among them. So what he begins to do testing. And the testing always comes not only before the blessing, but the testing comes before judgment. Because once God brings judgment, the judgment is the shaking. The shaking is so that people can make a way of escape from his wrath. Because nobody escapes his wrath, except for those who are standing right with God. And in this testing, you know, not only are we going to be tested, because the Bible says that judgment first begins in the house of God, but it's our responsibility to know how to test ourselves. Does everybody understand that? Because if you don't know how to test, you know, then you will not be able to know who to fellowship with, what is of God, what's not of God. That's why we've been talking about submit to resist the devil, submit to discern. And one of the things God tests us is he tests our discernment to see if we can discern. And in this, there is a tremendous testing going on right now. Everybody, in fact, the whole world is being tested globally. Globally, the world is being tested by God. Turn to Psalm 11, please. Psalm 11. In verse 1, would you read it with me? In the Lord I will put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow to make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. I'm telling you, secretly. In other words, sometimes you don't even know you've been hit until later by your fruit or what your actions or whatever's going on. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I want you to look at this because it says in verse 2, look, the wicked bend their bow. And then it talks about if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I want you to know that this foundation is called the secular foundations. Because what happens in God's testing is he begins to tear down secular foundations. Are you listening? That's a part of his judgment also. Secular foundations begin to get torn down. Right now, what you are seeing globally is secular foundations begin to get torn down. Are you listening? The economics, all the things that are going on global, the bank structure, everything that has been portraying itself as God in the secular realm is beginning to be torn down. And verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Now he's not talking about the righteous. He's talking about the wicked. The Lord tests the righteous. Now he talks about the righteous. But the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance upholds the upright. Wow. So we see that not only does God test the wicked, but he also tests the righteous. So what is he doing? He's exposing and collapsing the secular foundations right now. And anything that you and I are attached to is a foundation, because the Bible says that no man can build another foundation except for that which is in Christ. Anything that we are building on as a secular foundation will begin to crumble. Is everybody okay? Good. Go to Psalm 7 in verse 9. Psalm 7 in verse 9. Let's read it together, please. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. Where does he save them? Upright in who? In their hearts. Now your heart is the character of your spirit. In verse 11, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery, what? Shafts. See, God tests the hearts and the minds to bring the wicked to an end. That's his purpose, isn't it? But as hard as that, every man be rescued. But those who reject him, reject his will, reject his ways, are noted as the wicked. And that's where the shaking is coming right now. Does everybody understand? Go to Psalm 9 in verse 6. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for what? Judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who what? Who seek you. So he tests to administer judgment. Does everybody understand that? So the testing comes, then judgment comes, then the wrath of God comes. So right now we are seeing testing and judgment being ministered in a mighty way. Is everybody okay? Go to Exodus 20. So we know that the foundations of the secular are beginning to collapse. Exodus chapter 20. In verse 20. Would you read it with me? Exodus 20:20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. And that is what? Fear may be before you that you may not sin. See, one of the things that happen is the people lose the fear or reverence of God. But he's coming to test right now. He's testing the world to see if they reverence him. See, because the secular does not reverence God. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. It says that, verse 21, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So everybody removed themselves, but only Moses went closer. Why? Because he was able to get in God's presence because he reverenced his presence. See, people run from God's presence because they don't reverence his presence. That's why people have a hard time getting to worship, because they don't know how to reverence his presence. Verse 22, then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to me with gods of what? Silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. An altar of the earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep, your oxen, and every place where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will what? I will bless you. Whoa. So you see that he tests to see if we are carrying the fear of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? And so that not only do we carry the fear of the Lord, so that we will not build secular altars of silver and gold or selfishness or selfish fame, but altars of sacrifice, of self, praise, worship, and offerings of all that we have for his purpose. I'll say that again. He tests us so that we maintain the fear. He's going to test who has the fear of the Lord with them. Why? Because if you maintain the fear of the Lord, you will depart from sin. Fear should always be before us. So we do not build secular altars of silver and gold or selfish fame, but altars of sacrifice and the sacrifice of self, praise, worship, and the offerings of all that we have for his purpose. The world is in a testing of its secular foundations that are collapsing. It's to determine God's judgment and how he will judge them, and the way of his deliverance to the wicked and to the compromising. I'm sharing with you, to the wicked and to the compromising. Judgment is coming. Right now, as his testing is being established and being sent out, he's determining how judgment is going to be delivered to not only this country, but to the world. Go to Matthew 16. That's why he says, come out from among them. Matthew 16. So God is testing the spirits, isn't he? In verse 21, Matthew 16, 21. Let's read this together. It says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Well, Peter didn't like that. So Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. In other words, he says, nobody's getting to you except for through me. Wrong. Jesus turned around and rebuked him, saying, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of what? Men. Now, I want you to understand this, that he rebuked Satan that was using Peter, because Satan was using Peter to try and discourage Jesus to move him out of what he was supposed to be doing. And in this, Jesus turned around and rebuked Satan, but he rebuked him because he said, you are mindful of things of man and not the things of God. And that's what's going on in this country right now. In verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, after, of course, he rebuked Peter and commanded Satan, you know, basically to shut up. Then he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. Wow. So Satan's kingdom is ruled for the purpose to eliminate the gospel of Christ Jesus. So man will exalt himself, trust himself, and live for himself, and not deny himself for the life of Christ. Does everybody get this? See, everything is associated with promotion of self. That's why the Bible says in the latter days there will be perilous times, and many will become lovers of themselves. And so that is associated with the secular realm, because Satan is associated with sacrifice of everyone else but himself. He puts himself first. And his purpose is to kill all mankind to get to God. But unfortunately, he lost the battle, but he just doesn't get it yet because he's so caught up in himself, he can't see the end. So now we're in the secular realm, in the secular world, which is turning more and more and more and more over to secularism, where God is being removed, trying to be removed, where prayer is being removed, where the Ten Commandments are being removed, where secularism is being promoted, abortions are being promoted, and everything is about money, the altar of money and gold. And you're seeing these things collapse. We saw 9/11 and the Twin Towers come down, which is associated with the world trade money. We're seeing altars of Satan come down in Iraq. That's why we went over there, was to tear down one of his altars. We're seeing many things happen in the area where God is already beginning testing to determine what kind of judgment he is going to release to not only this country, but globally. Does everybody understand? I mean, you look around the world right now, and it's crazy. It's not getting better. People are losing jobs. They're losing everything that they've put their hope and trust in. All secularism foundations are beginning to crumble until people return and grab hold of the fear of the Lord. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4. You know, it's pretty wild because there's so much money being poured out now with all of these rescues, supposedly false rescues. And all of this stuff is available, but it's amazing that you can get all kinds of money right now. Of course, we know it's only going to be temporary. And you can get grants and all kinds of stuff, but if you are preaching Christ, they won't give you a dime. Are you listening? They won't give you any money. With all of the trillions, $3 trillion that's going out, they will not give you any money if Christ is involved. Why? Because it's secular. Their purpose is to stop the gospel of Christ in every way they can, no matter what. So there are government grants available for all kinds of things. It's amazing because we've searched these things out to see if grants are available. And they love to give grants to drug programs and everything else. But they say that if you preach the Bible, you can't get any money from us. But you can preach the big book, the 12-step program, you can preach satanic, you can preach anything you want but the Bible, and you can get a grant. I call that discrimination. I call that discrimination. But the Bible tells us that we will be discriminated against because of what we stand for. See, but we can't be swayed and alter those things for money. We must stand firm now because God is testing us. He's testing us strong. No man can build another man's foundation, only that which is of Christ. And the Bible even says that all money and straw and hay and bricks and everything else is going to be tested. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 1 in this. This is powerful. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. So listen, if Satan is the ruler of this earth and he's behind everything, even government, hello, and he doesn't want the gospel to be preached, his purpose is to kill all mankind so that they will not have a way of escape. Does everybody got it? The Bible says that Jesus came in the fullness of truth and grace. Grace is God's plan of escape. That's what the gospel is. This is the gospel of grace. What is it? It's God's plan. Tells us how to fight, who we're fighting, tells us his tactics and how to outwit him. In verse 4, it says, whose minds the God of this age, who's the God of this age? Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It's amazing the deception right now. I mean, great deception in the world. Where even people who are claiming to be believers say that they are Christians, but they have so much blood on their hands. Because they promote abortion, they agree with it, same-sex marriage, and other things in this world. Who live together in adultery and call themselves Christians. That is not Christ-like. That's what a Christian is. Christ-like. Who are more interested right now in what their denomination is instead of who Christ is. We are not Catholic, Baptist, Pentecost, Presbyterians, or any Presbyterian. We are Christians. Christ-like. Christ-like. So that means that we must bear the fruits of Christ, the heart of Christ, the love of Christ, and the mind of Christ. Amen? Glory. And verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Who? We do. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake. So, see, the devil can't kill something that's already dead. Hallelujah. See, if you're fighting for your life, you're in survival mode. If you surrendered your life, you are in surrender mode and you'd be dead. Now, the devil can't kill something that's already dead. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. See, freedom is learned. And so many people don't want to learn. They just want to hear. Has everybody got it? They just want to hear. They don't want to learn. See, hearing is not learning. Listening is. Listen. See, hearing will increase your faith. Listening will increase your obedience. Hearing will increase your faith. Listening will increase your obedience. Everybody okay? Verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things that are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, although for some of us it seems like a long time, it is working for us. You mean my affliction and my stuff is working for me? Yes, it's killing you. Hallelujah. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are what? Seen. So what does a secular look at? The things which are what? Seen. They look, their hope is in what is seen and what is tangible. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Ooh, glory. So we are to be getting our eyes to focus on the unseen and not focus on the seen. And that's what God is trying to do to mankind right now. He's trying to get their focus on him. That's why the testing and the judgment and the wrath will come. And there's testing and judgment going on right now, globally. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And what does it say? Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Hello. In other words, test yourself to see if you'll be in the spirit. Test yourselves. Test who? Yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So we're first supposed to test the spirit who's in us. Do you understand that? See, you got to first test yourself before you can test somebody else or test anything else. Does everybody understand that? We got to test ourselves. That's the same scripture as the Lord says, pull the national grand forest out of your own eye before you pull the twig out of somebody else's. So you're supposed to test yourself. You are testing your spirit where you're at. Whether you're in the spirit, whether you're in the flesh, whether you're walking by faith, whether you're walking by what you see, or you're walking by the unseen. Does everybody understand? Go to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. So whose requirement is to test the spirits? Ours. See, if we'll judge ourselves, judgment won't come on us. In verse 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't believe any of them, man, until they're tested. Does everybody get it? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. So whose responsibility is it? Ours. We are to test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. False prophets is one who brings glory to himself or herself and is actually attached to the secular. Hello? And its purpose is to sway people away from the testing and the judgment in the area of self-testing and self-judging before God. See, their whole purpose is to remove the fear of the Lord in our life. That's how the secular operates. And there are many false prophets that give false hope. They begin to prophesy in the area of all kinds of other things but the fear of God. Hello? Let me share something with you. I do not chase prophetic words over my life. I've had a lot of prophecies. I don't chase them. I say, thank you, and I put them on the shelf. I do not chase them. I get quickened to them when they come to pass. Ah, I remember. Praise God. Does everybody understand it? It's amazing how people are building their lives over a word that was spoken over them. You do not build your life over a word that is spoken over you. you build your life on the foundations of Christ, and the things that were spoken over you, if they are of God, will come to pass. Hello. Let's go a little further. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the what? Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world what? Hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of what? The spirit of error. So we are to test the spirits. And I'm going to share 7 quick testings, because it's our responsibility. That's why the Bible says come out from among them. The first testing you test is fruits. Fruits. Now, I want to share with you that fruits are associated with words, responses, and reactions of a person. Those are fruits. Words, responses, or reactions of a person. The second thing you want to always test is a person's motive and the spirit's motive. I guess I shouldn't say person, I should say spirit. Because we are going to test the spirits. Why? Because you're going to test your spirit. What's the motive? What's your fruit? And anybody that you hang around with or where you go. Somebody got it? That's the second test. The third one is the desires, goals, and ambitions of the spirit. The desires, goals, and ambitions, whether they're selfish, whether where the heart's at. The fourth testing is the submission or the submission of this spirit and where it submits or reverences to. In other words, what's it giving glory to? Where's its submission to? The fifth one is you're going to test the knowledge and the understanding of Christ of the Spirit. Now, knowledge is truth understood. Because a lot of people have knowledge, but what they try to explain, what they know, the knowledge is incorrect. So you're going to test the knowledge and the understanding of Christ of the Spirit. The sixth thing you're going to test is the origination and destination of the Spirit. Where is its origination and what is its destination? And the seventh thing you're going to test is references, testimonies, accomplishments. What you are actually doing is you are qualifying or disqualifying these spirits in the humans and spiritual realm. It's your responsibility to qualify or disqualify. Why? He says, come out from among them. You are and I are to test the spirits. Do you ever hang around with somebody that says they love the Lord and they've been serving the Lord and walking with Jesus for 30 and 20, 40 years, whatever it is. Yet when it comes time for an offering, they never tithe or they never offer. Well, you'll know them by their fruit, won't you? Their actions or reactions. That's all their purpose is to build their own empire because their trust is in their own money. They're still building altars of secularism. And that's what God is tearing down, even in the body of Christ right now. Those are called altars of Baal. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Lord. And I want to close it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Whose responsibility is to test the spirits? Ours. And let me tell you, you're going to need to test them. Big time right now. Big time. But you know, the religious spirit will tell you, you're judging them. You're judging me. You're darn right. You're darn right I'm judging you. I'm judging. There's 7 areas where I'm testing you. Do you ever get around somebody that's, you know they're not right. And they're always going, why haven't you called me? Do you want a novel? Do I need to send you a book? Why I don't call you? Because you ain't right, man. And you don't have a desire to get right. Now there's a difference of a person that has a desire to get right that's messed up. But a person that thinks they are right, but they're messed up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Y'all all right? You getting this? Yeah. Praise God. Pull out your tester. If they made this thing that can test an individual, you know, it'd be good. Here, hold on to this. You failed. There'd be a lot of dead bodies all over this country, wouldn't there? In verse 14. Would you read it with me? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are what? Unruly. Are we being warned now? Amen. So we're to warn those that are unruly. In other words, why? Why are they unruly? Because you can tell them by those seven areas. Fruits, where they're at, where they tithe, where they lie, they manipulate, whatever. You know, a person that's unfaithful. Hello? Unpredictable. A person led by emotions is difficult to trust. Because they're not being led by their spirit. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Why? Because God is testing, judgments close and happening, and the wrath of God is coming. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted and uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Hallelujah! Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test what? Test them all, man. Test it all. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of what? Evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and to God be the glory. And this is where we are at right now in testing the spirits. Let me share something with you also. In qualifying these spirits, and especially individuals, they must be come to a place where trust is earned. Trust is earned. You know, too many times things are not earned and they're given by an individual. And when they are given without being earned, it causes a stumbling block. Does everybody understand? Everything must be earned. Does everybody got it? Listen, salvation is a gift, but the Bible says you must work out your salvation. Freedom is learned and trust is earned. And when an individual has earned trust, it means that they've been tested, they've been qualified. So God is testing us to qualify us so that more can be released. If we are not qualified in certain areas, his blessings are not released in certain areas. He'll never forsake us nor leave us. But who wants to live in just provision when God's got abundance? And we are going from provision to abundance. But the testing of our faith, the testing of our character, the testing is happening right now and determining what kind of judgment God is going to release for his wrath. We are there right now. Make no mistake about it. The secular foundations are collapsing and everything attached to it is collapsing. We can no longer build on anything else but Christ, his faithfulness, and who he is. That's why it's important to stay in his presence, to praise and worship, because his presence will maintain you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we're at. Hallelujah. Amen? This is where we're at. I mean, it's an awesome time to be alive right now. Why God has us alive right now? Why are we here? Why are we still rescued? Why aren't we those who have passed? Why are we still here?